The Talking Food podcast with Bidfood is brought to you in conjunction with Nestlé, the world's leading nutrition, health and wellness company.
Hello and welcome to Bidfood's Talking Food podcast. I'm Joe Anglis, and in this, our second series, we'll be hearing from experts from both inside and outside of Bidfood, with the aim of being able to connect all aspects of the UK food service industry through fun and interesting topics. We'd love to get you involved in the show, so if you'd like to leave your feedback or share any topic ideas for us to explore, please leave a comment on our social media platform at Bidfood UK. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast via Apple, Spotify, and all the major podcast channels. So the first of a series of experts joining me today at our Slough Depot is David King. He's our Customer and Sector Marketing Manager, and he looks after our pub's customers. Hi, David.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So my first question, of course, would be, why are we recording in our head office in Slough and not in a pub for this podcast?
I guess it is 9 a.m, so doing it in a pub at 9 a.m. might be a bit prohibitive, but at the same point, it would be great, wouldn't it?
So tell me a bit about you, David. How long have you been there? And what do you do?
So yeah, I'm a customer and sector marketing manager at Bidfood. I've been with the company for about 6.5 years now. I look after a number of customers as a sector manager, supporting them with their challenges, helping them with added value, and basically helping them grow their businesses above and beyond what we do usually. So yeah, it's a pretty good job, I'm not going to lie.
So recently, we know you ran a pubs event. So can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we ran a big event at the Tower of London where we're essentially doing a three-course meal to a lot of our prospect customers to introduce them to Bidfood, show them about what we're about, and just showcase a lot of our product range. It was a real chance for us to showcase the offer and potential we have with our customers to help them build their business, to help them grow, and ultimately help them succeed in what is a very, very challenging market.
So I guess a question leading from that would be, how can you summarise the market at the moment for pubs?
Sure. So the pub market is in a really interesting position at the moment. It's no secret that pubs have been shutting and outlet numbers have continued to drop over the years. We've actually seen over 30,000 pubs shut since 1970. What's really interesting, though, is that the market is changing in a form that we're seeing turnover growth rates increase, and they've been positive for quite a few years now. So much so that we're seeing a lot of new players come into the market. It's very interesting to see what's going on. We're seeing things like power bars come out, and the themes around how pubs can grow and kind of compete is far beyond what it used to be. What we're also seeing in the market is food offers changing, people premiumizing their offers, people doing a lot of different things now to get pub consumers into their pub rather than into a restaurant, a hotel, or into a bar.
So leaning on to that, what kind of things are pubs that are really growing in the market at the moment, doing really well, doing differently?
So we're seeing a lot of change within the little subsectors in the pubs. So managed house business, the bigger brands, what they're doing is they're converting a lot of their least intended business into more managed formats where they control the menu, they control the drinks offer, they can really have a complete say on what absolutely every single pence goes to, and really kind of move it beyond what it is now. We're seeing a lot of different things happen within the power bars piece that I mentioned earlier, so a lot more of a premiumized drinks offer. It's all around being showy, showcasing the best of your offer, but also adding some theatre to your offer. That's really what customers want to see at the moment, and it's all around the experience culture that we're seeing really grow within the millennial, but also within the kind of generations below that.
So you speak about experience. There's absolutely loads of experience sort of pubs in the market, particularly coming out of London at the moment. Can you tell me a bit about what's happening there and what consumers are looking for?
Yeah, it's really interesting actually in London. We're seeing a lot of these interactive bars pop up. So there's a couple that I want to talk through. So Flight Club is an interactive darts bar where everything is completely automated. You can order drinks to your station. You can order food to your station. I also really like Putt Shack. So that's the mini golf bar for anyone who hasn't been. It's, again, an interactive one. So your ball is completely electronic. Every time you putt it, it records the shots and it gives you the special holes where you can win things like free drinks and free pizzas. Again, the whole piece around bringing drinks to where you are works very well. So there's people going around on iPads taking your drinks off. And this whole personalized approach they have around making sure that your name's on every single thing. They give you that individual celebrations. It's a really, really good one.
Another thing they're really great at is that sort of incremental sales things. What you said about walking around with like tablets and things, you can get free food if you get certain like holes and ones and things like that. And it's a really good way of getting people to spend more money.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone else who does that really well is Bounce. So the ping pong bar in London, they are really, really good at that because you'll be playing ping pong and before you know it, they'll come and kind of tap you on the shoulder, interrupting your game, which is slightly annoying, but making sure you're ordering drinks and ordering food to exactly where you are. Also, another theme that I really want to explore is around cocktail drinks and how we're seeing bars really, really premiumize those offers. So places like the Alchemist are across the UK. The Alchemist do almost like the chemistry set cocktails, which really cool. They bubble up. You can get all kinds of different ones. And those kind of themes around adding theatre to cocktails is really interesting. Using dry ice or just anything that's going to make a bit of a show is a really, really cool one. There's loads and loads of those bars in London.
I guess that links into the sort of trend we're seeing where people are wanting more premium drinks to have. So you get like craft alcohols and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one for linking it back to pubs is where they can really come into their own, because pubs can do this on a scale that they haven't been able to do before. They can really premiumize their offer and make sure they're offering these cocktail style experiences for actually probably a better rate than most cocktail bars can, and really giving consumers something they haven't had before in a pub, which is quite nice. And I think that's a really good way of attracting a different type of consumer to a pub rather than the standard, you know, old school view of, you know, beer drinkers and that's it in pubs.
I guess leading on from that, do you think the sort of non-alcohol sales, so people wanting premium soft drinks because people, well, the Generation Z audience of people are starting to drink less alcohol, do you think that's something, an area that pubs need to look into?
100%. I think pubs really need to take into account the low and no alcoholic piece for drinks. So when we're looking at things like soft drinks, the premium soft drinks are something they need to look at. But also when we look at no and low alcoholic beer, wines, cocktails, that's something that is growing within, as you said, the younger generations. It's definitely something they need to kind of look at and address. But we're seeing, what we've seen in the States, I don't know if you've seen this, is the whole like dry bars where they basically have no alcoholic within them. And you go in there and everything is completely dry. There's no alcohol at all. But they look very much like a bar. So it's they're designed for people who want to be able to go to a bar, but don't want to be associated or kind of surrounded by the connotations around alcohol. So, you know, rowdy people, loudness, all that kind of thing. So there's a lot of different bars popping up now around them, around the US especially. It'd be interesting to see whether that takes hold over here, but I guess it's more of a sign of, you know, what we could expect coming over to the UK and what pub customers could expect to, you know, potentially want and need from a pub down further down the line.
David, thank you very much.
No problem at all.
And David is going to be alongside me for the rest of the episode as a co-host. We'll be back in a moment. David and I have now been joined by our food development chef, Matt Tracy. So Matt, what's your role at Bidfood?
So I'm food development chef. I look after travel and leisure and pub sector, and I also look after education, healthcare, all national accounts, a range of varieties really, product development, product placement and training and data, stuff like that.
How did you get into cooking?
So I got into cooking really through just cooking with my great nan and my nan at home, making, you know, cakes and stuff like that, wanting to eat the cake mix out of the bowl and stuff. And then when I was about 13, 14, my brother got a job in a pub washing pots, and 1 week they were short. So I went helping, did kitchen porting for a week, 2 weeks, and they were short on the salad garnish. So I helped out there. Lasted about 2 weeks, to be honest, because I decided to go and watch a kit car show with my uncle. And then obviously I got sacked. So then I started cooking properly in kitchens when I was 16.
So what's your experience of working with pubs?
Working with pubs, obviously, I've had background knowledge of doing eating and drinking in a lot of pubs from a young age. So I think that's a good thing. And then obviously just basically just keeping up on trend and just seeing what goes on in the industry and stuff like that, of what's upcoming, what's been in the past and what's in the future, really.
What do you see as the really key trends within pubs at the moment?
The biggest thing at the moment, obviously, is veganism, you know, healthy eating. And obviously the usual things is like provenance and stuff like that, which is always going to be massive. And I think it's all blending in together now to make the pub sector really exciting as well and stuff like that. So
yeah, I think I'd agree. Like I think we're seeing the pubs industry and pub caterers go into a lot more detail on things like plant-based as a whole now, and doing a lot of different things that you wouldn't associate with pub food. You know, gone are the days where you just expect the kind of top 10 dishes in the pubs. Now you've got vegan items on there, you've got all kinds of different things on there. We talked about cocktails. Premiumizing menus, I think, is really key, isn't it?
In terms of supporting customers, what projects are you guys working on in the future?
Just finished looking at a burger concept of how we can reduce down the products to use to make as much of an influence on a burger menu. So it's like making 11 burgers out of 20 products, which is quite a different thing to do because normally everyone thinks you've got to use separate products and stuff like that along the line. So I think in the future, in the pipeline, we'll obviously be vegan, which is massive, and plant-based. and then looking at other concepts which hit the pub market and more specific to the pub market rather than a whole as a business.
Yeah, I'd agree that. But the burger piece we did was really interesting because it was around like how we can do a really good burger menu with as little product as possible and be really as efficient as possible within that. If you've got like low space around the back or if you've got a lower skill level in some kitchens that you've got, all things like that take into account. One of the things we've also done is a pizza concept recently. So the Crafty Pizza Company launched just literally about 6 months ago. And what it's about is creating really good quality sourdough pizzas that any of our customers can use, including pubs, using authentic ingredients, using really, really great toppings on them, and then cooking them. And you can pretty much cook them in anything from a rationale through to a really amazing kind of wood-fired pizza oven, but giving your consumer a really, really authentic experience with pizza.
So we talked about veganism is like a big thing that's happening through in the pub sector. Can we talk about like some of the things that we do to support you with the vegan ranges?
As a business, we've just launched our second lot of vegan foods and vegan products and recipes to back that up. As we go along and as the months go by, as a food development chef and category development categories, is we're looking at new products, how we can change some of the stuff which sort of you miss out, so like your chicken wings and stuff like that, to bring them into a vegan range and how we can get vegan chicken wings. And obviously the products we're getting in now are all about, you know, your dirty burgers and stuff like that and things and finger food and different things like that. So obviously there's a wide range of there, which are also representing different food, like meat replicas really. So like pork belly, et cetera, and stuff like that. So
yeah, I guess that really reaches out to the people that are trying to reduce their meat consumption and things like that, where they can still eat similar sort of tasting food and it's easier for them to cut the meat.
I think that's a really interesting one as well, because the meat replacement piece, products like seitan and banana blossom that we've recently launched, are really kind of new to the market. And I think when you first hear about them, you know, I think we first heard about them about a year ago, no one really knew much about them. But them coming to the market now and doing something a bit different. And also, I think you mentioned there, Matt, around like dirty vegan's quite an interesting one, because I think the perception around plant-based is that it's like, it's actually really healthy and it's, you know, about raw ingredients and really fresh. But a lot of the time, some of the vegan cooking we're seeing is like really high in fat. It's really like dirty. They pile on the sauces, pile on the calories. Tastes amazing, but it's not healthy at all. But because it's vegan, a lot of consumers kind of think it might be. So Matt, just a bit on pub menus, because I know you work with a lot of customers to build really, really good pub menus. What's the kind of process you go through and how do you build the perfect pub menu?
You get a brief off the customer. You look at the price points, what the selling points are, what the labour cost structure is and stuff like that in there. So you've got loads of people which have different skill sets. So, and obviously storage as well is a massive thing in kitchens. You know, they don't want to waste space on a kitchen when they can get an extra couple of covers out on the front. So it's about understanding the business as a whole, I'd say, of how we can support them that way and what they want really.
In the industry as a whole, there is a skills shortage that's quite widely spoke about. What can we do to sort of support that for our customers?
I think the way we support it, obviously, is our concepts which we write, so fast, flexible flavours, you know, the burger concept and stuff like that, is about making it as easy as possible and but effective for the customer and for the client, like, so the people which are selling the food. So the pub itself has got to have something which they can make feel premiumised. So it's like, you know, adding, say, a teriyaki sauce onto a burger to make it Japanese, or making a katsu mayo or something like that to make like a katsu burger and stuff. So I think it's about giving them an option where they can premiumize it, where the customer can then customize it for themselves. So, you know, you see it yourself when someone goes for a burger, one person doesn't like cheese, one person wants bacon. So if you've got a core menu and then you can add stuff onto it, you're not buying anything extra in, you're just using the stuff which you're already buying for the burgers you've got, but then people can add it on, which then gives you more spend per head for your business, and the customer's feeling like they're getting value and they're getting something which they can customise to their own taste as well.
We talked a little bit about innovation there, but what sort of things are you seeing in the future? What's on the horizon in the pubs industry?
The main thing I've seen was on the tour around America from the Midas tour, which is an industry tour, was a self-sufficient restaurant, and you go, touch your screen, place your order on an iPad. And then they've got several TV screens in a wall. And then behind that, they'd have two chefs or three chefs cooking the dishes. And then they'll put it in the box, which would be a blank screen. And you see a little cartoon character which comes and wipes down the screen. Then behind it, the door opens and appears your food. And you just take it down, go and sit down and eat your food, really.
Do you think that's got scope for the pubs industry then? I always think that. I know there's like a massive piece on like automated pieces and like, you know, cutting down labor, as we said, and even like making things more interactive with like tables where you can play like games on them, that kind of thing. But yeah, do you think that's got much room in pubs industry, Matt?
You never know, because if like 10, 15 years ago, you never said vegan food would have a place on a pub menu or vegetarian. So it could be anything in the near future. You never know. But, you know, it might not be in the next 10 years, but 20 years down the line for the pub industry, you could see that happening.
Matt Tracy, thank you very much.
No problems. And thanks for letting me be a part of this.
Now, as they would say in football, it's half time, which means we'll have a quick break and we'll be back in a moment.
The Talking Food podcast with Bidfood is brought to you in conjunction with Nestlé, the world's leading nutrition, health and wellness company.
Hello, welcome back. You're listening to the Talking Food podcast. I'm Joe Anglis from the customer marketing team, and with me is David King, our customer and sector marketing manager. We're talking to you from our head office in Slough, and joining us now is Graham Townsend. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Graham, can you tell us a bit about your role?
Yeah, I'm a national account manager with the travel, leisure and pub team within Bidfood.
So what's your background to get into the job you're in now?
Been with Bidfood for 18 years. First three or four, I was a field sales manager within the free trade sector. Been with national accounts for 13 years. Last 10 years have been as a national account manager with the travel and leisure team.
So Graham, you always bang on to me about how you were a chef before, but can you tell us a bit about how you got into the trade?
I'm a classically trained chef, actually. I did 7061 and 7062 when it was good old City and Guilds, so I'm showing my age. And worked in the trade for about 10, 12 years, both back of house and front of house.
So I guess my first question would be sort of the challenges that the market faces at the moment.
I think the obvious one is obviously Brexit. There's a lot of uncertainty there within the marketplace, especially in our sector. People are looking at the pennies, not sure whether they're going to go out and spend money on an evening meal or a day out. So that's challenging. It's challenging for our customers, so that becomes challenging for us, really.
So Graham, there's always a lot of talk about networking within the pub industry being really key. Can you talk us through a bit about that?
We've recently joined an organisation called the MyDAS organisation, which is Menu Networking. And a lot of pubs and related businesses are a part of that within the industry. So major players across the board are involved in that. And we've actually become the first wholesaler to join that. And this will give us access to several customers that normally we wouldn't be able to speak to in a social environment, to be honest. And I think that's critical, especially given where the pub industry is. I think there's a lot of people that do business a little bit differently within pubs. And I think being part of this organisation will really give us a footing to getting further opportunities within the business.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's also, the pubs industry is really interesting from what we've experienced so far in that they're very open with sharing on what each other are doing. So I think within the restaurant market, you see probably a bit more competition between them. Within pubs, they're very happy to share what they're doing. They're very happy to share their learnings. And they're very happy to help each other out, which is, I think, is a bit different to most industries. Instead of seeing each other as competitors, a lot of the time they see each other as helpers, really, which is it's quite a nice story, I think, for the industry as a whole. So Graham, can you just talk us through about how you really help customers day to day with their challenges and how what your role really does within Bidfood to support them?
Yeah, so in terms of the customers that we deal with, so our buying customers, I'm the kind of conduit to everything that is Bidfood for them. So I can get involved in whether it be menu planning, whether it be service related discussions, whether it be innovation, whether it be strategy. So yesterday I was with a major customer talking about their March menu and lots of development behind that. And today I'm talking to supply chain about a potential scenario we've got regarding this Christmas. So each day is very, very different. But I think the national account managers are there for their customers to support them and to be that additional team member that they need from a great partner that they trust.
So I asked Matt this question earlier, but I'm keen to get your perspective on it. So what do you think is the on the horizon for the pubs industry?
Yeah, I'm not sure what Matt said. It's normally wrong what he says, to be honest. But for me, given the knowledge that we've got, I think there's a lot of movement towards kind of casual dining, smaller plates, family dining. A lot of people are looking at flexitarian, both in terms of menu development and in terms of eating times as well. I think as people lifestyle change, then successful pub companies are going to need to be flexible with their approach to what they're doing for their customers. And obviously from that, we need to support that really.
I think that's a really interesting one when you look at like the blurred mealtimes piece you taught there. So like, you know, people eating at different times of the day, but also pubs opening now for like breakfast and brunch. You know, that's something you've never seen before in the past. But as an opportunity for a pub, if you open a breakfast and you get enough trade in, it's a great day part that they haven't really taken advantage of recently.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a from my local, which is a quite a high end pub. Now does breakfast, well, you wouldn't expect anything less.
Absolutely.
Does on a weekend does breakfast style service, and it's actually, in terms of number of covers, it's actually their busiest service of the day.
Finally, if you went to a pub, what would you have to eat?
I am a bit of a pie man. I do like a pie, but it has to be really good quality. So yeah, that's kind of first thing I look for on the menu.
Graham, thank you very much for your time today. And now for a final guest today, Anna Turner, who is one of our national account managers for catering supplies. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
So, Anna, can you introduce us to what you do for Bidfood?
Yep, absolutely. So I am the national account manager for catering supplies for the travel, leisure and pub industry. I have two roles at Bidfood, actually, so I do that most of the time. But I'm also the ambassador for Bidfood in the wider world when it comes to packaging. So I sit on the board of the Food Service Packaging Association, so making catering supplies relevant to them and non-food relevant to Bidfood.
So what is the kind of support you provide to our customers at the moment?
It's my knowledge in terms of the market. So our customers will come to me and they will ask me for, can you get this? Can you source that? What do we need to know about this? What do we need to do about that? So it's fundamentally important that I have that knowledge.
Anna, so one of the things that we do within Bidfood is a lot of focus on catering equipment and supporting our customers with presentation and how they can premiumize their offer, not just through food, but through the way they present their products and what they present their products on. Can you talk us through some of the key trends or key ideas or even interesting things you've seen in the marketplace at the moment that kind of piqued your interest?
What I'm finding is that people are now looking at superfoods and vegan and colour. And previously, people were serving it on a white plate, and whilst it looks okay on a white plate, it doesn't really make the product stand out. So when you've got products like avocado, pomegranate seeds, if you then serve it on a coloured plate, it makes those products really stand out. It actually justifies a premium price. It's the sort of thing where somebody will see it being taken across a restaurant floor or something and go, "Oh, that looks really nice. I think I'm going to have one of those myself." But I have seen some quite strange things as well. I've seen products served in slippers. I've seen them served in flat caps. I've seen them served in dustbin lids.
So I guess that's the link between making food Instagrammable and how you can use catering equipment or whatever it is to make it really stand out.
Yeah, this. I think there's probably two things that are driving things, is the Instagrammable shot, but also the TripAdvisor. So, you know, if anybody now, if they go anywhere, will look at TripAdvisor first to see if it's worth going, and then with Instagram. And I've noticed the rise of TikTok as well, which is the short videos. I've noticed a couple of football clubs are now saying we're on TikTok. So that's, I'm watching that one with interest to see how that one comes across to everyday people.
Sana, that's the sort of thing that adds a lot of theatre to a dish and to like an experience that you have in a pub. Have you seen anything else like that within the market that's quite cool?
I've got a customer where I think you might have seen the hanging kebab skewers. Where people will put meat on there. Sometimes they'll put naan bread on there. They actually put marshmallows on there and have a bowl of ice cream underneath, and then they pour hot sauce over the marshmallows that then drips over the ice cream. That's the sort of thing that you want in a pub, so that someone can have a look and think, "Well, that looks nice. Do you know what? I really fancy one of those." I've seen some cocktail trees where you can have 12 glasses of Prosecco served in one serving. So again, the theatre of a pink Prosecco being taken across the floor of a pub, where you've got a group of ladies looking at it thinking, "Do you know what, I fancy a bit of that."
Hey, not just ladies, Anna.
Yeah. where the pub actually has the opportunity to sell 12 drinks in one go rather than a round of four, and then maybe people don't actually have another one. So there's an opportunity then to upsell to get a greater share of the purse.
Anna, you mentioned your role within the Food Packaging Association. Are you finding your customers are asking you for a lot of tips and advice on sustainability as a whole?
Yes, absolutely. I do feel quite sorry for a lot of people out there. There's a huge amount of greenwash out there in terms of the packaging that's available. Everyone, I think, has now come up with the most recyclable cup that's out there. And we've got upcoming in April 2020, where there's going to be a ban on plastic straws and plastic stirrers. customers are going to have to then provide something different. Normally, cocktails and spirit drinks are actually drunk through a straw. If you then take that away and someone directly drinks it from the glass and they're wearing lipstick, you've then got lipstick on the glass. Unless you've got a really good system, such as Quash, that will actually clean the product, that's pure profit they'll be throwing away. Because what will happen is somebody will come back to the bar and say, there's lipstick on my glass. They'll have to throw that drink away and then give them another one because they can't pour it from one glass to another one. So taking straws away does have that impact for them.
So Anna, I've asked everybody this question, but I'd like to ask you as well. So what's on the horizon for the pubs industry?
I think it's further development of the provenance of food. You know, people are going out less, but when they are going out, they're expecting it to be a real experience. They don't want food served on a chip plate. They expect their staff to be able to answer questions on allergens. They expect people to know a little bit more about the menu rather than just what's on the menu. And again, it's that theatre side of things. I'm going out for this one night rather than two nights a week. I really want to enjoy myself. And for the pub, it's, well, okay, this person's here just once, so how can I get them to, this sounds awful, but to spend as much as possible, because you've got them there and then.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Anna. You've been amazing to have on.
My pleasure.
And I think me and Joe will be back with the summer in a second.
The Talking Food podcast with Bidfood is brought to you in conjunction with Nestlé, the world's leading nutrition, health and wellness company.
Okay, David, let's just have a little quick summary of what we've been talking through today. So first up, I think there's a key thing that kept on coming up was around veganism. What are your thoughts on that trend and how it's growing in the market?
I think what Matt said about plant-based and veganism as a whole thing is really, really interesting. You know, how it's growing within the market, but how also it's something that I guess pubs haven't really seen about 10 years ago and didn't really think about, but now it's not just on the periphery. It's something they have to take into account. It's something they label on menus. It's a real selling point that a pub can now sell vegan food. I think it really links into as well what Graham was talking about on casual dining as well. So one of the things that Graham was saying, you know, in summary, was that the meal times are blurring, that casual dining is becoming really key, that selling menu items across the board isn't just about starter, mains and desserts now, it's about snacking, it's about premiumizing, it's about how they can sell across all parts of the day, as opposed to just a couple of meal items, a couple of day parts. And it's really interesting to see that. I mean, what did you think of his discussion there?
Yeah, I think like another element of that is the fact that going back onto veganism is like how diets are changing nowadays. I think it's not just that people are wanting to have that healthier lifestyle, but it's also people are thinking about more sustainability messages, which Anna touched upon there. And it's sort of casual dining throughout the day. So it's not just a pub for drinking anymore, for drinking alcohol. It's about premium soft drinks. It's about coffee in the morning and then how they can develop their food offering to support all aspects of the day. I think the final point that was covered quite a lot today was around experience. And I think we touched upon it earlier on today, but it's about the size of the opportunity for experience in pubs. What do you think?
I think it's really key, you know, and what Anna said about experience isn't just around the provenance. It's not just about the food. It's about the whole piece around how you can present it. It's around what we're talking about, cocktails and low and no alcohol. It's around making sure the offer for a consumer is as attractive as possible. So they're going to stick it on Instagram. So they're going to put it on Twitter. So they're going to talk about it. And basically, even through word of mouth is still a massive selling point nowadays. But just so that their friends are then passing on. And as a pub, you're getting as much free advertising as possible. It's really key in this day and age, and I think it's something that's only going to get more important.
David, thank you very much for your time today.
No worries, Joe. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you to all of our guests today, Graham, Matt and Anna. Next up in this series, we'll be looking at what we predict will be the food trends for 2020. From the hottest global cuisines to upgrading your classic dishes and a focus on all things sustainable. Also, if you are able to share and review the podcast, it will mean more people can listen and learn about our take on what's hot in food service. Thank you and goodbye.